Hear again the word of the Lord. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus, amen. The name above all names, Jesus. When the angel Gabriel spoke to Joseph in a dream, he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." At his birth, the angels announced to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And today, some 30-odd years later, he enters into Jerusalem for the Passover. He approaches mounted on a donkey, and the crowds cry, "Hosanna, save us." As we enter this most holy week today, we meditate upon Jesus, the name above all names. In the Old Testament, God had revealed his name to his people, Yahweh, translated in our English Bibles as Lord, all caps, or transliterated as Jehovah. As early as Genesis 4, we read, "At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." Many generations later, we read that as Moses wandered in the wilderness, God spoke to him out of a burning bush, saying, "I am the Lord, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." God then called Moses to go to Egypt, to go to Pharaoh, to bring Israel out of captivity. Moses asked him, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said, "I am who I am. Say to this people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And with those words, Moses went forth to free Israel in the name of the Lord. But what is God's personal name? He told Moses, "I am who I am." But if you read the scriptures, we don't see that name used very often. That's God speaking about himself. Instead, we read elsewhere of the God of Israel who is called Yahweh. Now that sounds very different to you, but it's the same form of the same, it's a different form of the same word. It's the state of being verb. In English, that's conjugated as am, is, are, was, were, be, being, been. Thank you, elementary school grammar. Now, the word Yahweh is most likely translated as "he is." Remember, it's the state of being verb, and it's specifically the masculine singular. Now, this puzzles modern scholars who note that God's personal name is technically an incomplete sentence. He is. He is what? He's doing what? What is he? Now they speculate, these modern biblical scholars, that of course this was part of some longer name that was lost at some point in the transmission history of the Old Testament. Hogwash. Dear Christians, we are not skeptical scholars, so we can actually answer the question and get to the bottom of the matter. Let us not sit in speculation, but let us hear God's word. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. You have the name fulfilled in your hearing. Today you learn who he is. He is your Savior. That is the meaning of Jesus' name, which is the Hebrew name Joshua. Yahweh is salvation. He is salvation. Now, how does Jesus get his name? It's not merely by giving it to himself. It's not a pat on the back. It's not a certificate that he himself prints. No, Jesus earns his name through obedience to the Father's good and gracious will. It is the most glorious name. It stands above even the Old Testament's Yahweh, as St. Paul tells us today. Jesus is the name above every name. Now, the name Lord, even all caps, conjures for us images of kings and rulers, masters and slaveholders, with us as subjects and slaves to his sheer power. Indeed, broader American Christianity is still in this ongoing debate about whether Jesus is our Lord or Savior. What does that little word Lord actually mean? Jesus is not your Lord by virtue of being God. He is not your Lord by virtue of becoming man. He is your Lord because he, as St. Paul says today, he has humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is your Lord because he became a slave. He was made subject to sin, death, and the power of the devil. He suffered all those things to redeem you from their power. You see, God the Son is eternally God. He is, by virtue of being a member of the Holy Trinity, a possessor of the divine name Yahweh. But the Son became man. The Father did not become man. The Holy Spirit did not become man. The Son became man. And every Christmas we celebrate this mystery, and every Holy Week we see it fulfilled. You see, the Son became man. He was conceived without sin by the work of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary to overcome sin. He suffered, died, and was buried to make atonement and full satisfaction for your sin before God. He rose on the third day as a sign and as a guarantee that his sacrifice has been accepted on your behalf. And he ascended on high so that he could send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and institute the office of preaching, so that all these things might be preached to you, and that by hearing you may believe and have life in his name. Now, his name is glorified above every single name, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. To glorify something is to honor it. The Greek heroes and gods were glorified by winning victories and gaining a good reputation through their bloody conquests. They won a good name through tales of their gory and bloody victories over neighboring nations. But behold here, the wonderful glory and mystery of Christ. His glory, his good reputation, his honor is gained through his obedience, his suffering, and through his blood being shed. Today, you heard Jesus suffering, not by becoming man, but by becoming a poor and destitute child. Jesus was humiliated, not in being born, but by being regarded as a bastard and a blasphemer. Jesus is humbled, not merely for show, but by laying down his life and lying dead upon a cross. When Satan offered him glory and honor, if only he were to worship him, Jesus refused, choosing to become a beggar, that you might become rich. When the world accused him of all kinds of ungodliness, from his conception to the point that they kill him, he refused to defend himself, choosing to bear your reproaches and your shame. When the crowds demand that he save himself, he refuses, choosing instead to save you through his dying and rising. In all of these things that Jesus does, he is glorified. That is, his name is made great. The world sees the cross as just another tragedy, just another martyr. But what you see, dear Christians, you see your Savior, paying for your sins and winning for you eternal life. Today he is betrayed, captured, scourged, sentenced, and slain. And yet for all these things he is given the name above all names. No longer is the Lord's name an incomplete sentence. He is. Now it is finished. It is completed and fulfilled. He is my Savior. We heard the crowds of Jerusalem cry out, "Hosanna, please save us." And he rode on, going to die to save them. And now today you cry out to the same God, dear Christians. Not a God who merely is, but he who is your Savior, your salvation. From your Lord's crucifixion today and this week, learn God's good and gracious will to break and hinder every plan of the devil, the world, and your sinful nature, and instead to forgive you all your sins, to give you, strengthen you, and keep you firm in his word and faith until you die and are received into his eternal kingdom. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.